Ramsey Solutions. It's the Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. We help people build wealth, do work that they love, and create actual amazing relationships. Christina Ellis, Ramsey personality, number one best-selling author, is my co-host today. The phone number is 888-825-5225. The call is free, and some say it's worth exactly what you pay for it. Chris is with us in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi there. How's your guys' day going?
Better than we deserve, sir. How can we help?
So I was wanting to get some advice from you. I'm in the military. I've been in about 18 years, and I'm getting ready to retire here in about 2 years. So with that being said, my source of income is going to be changing a little bit. And over the past year, my wife and I, we've paid off all of our credit card debt and our loan debt. I think the only thing that we have left is about $95,000 on a house that I just bought last year. So with that being said, part of the way that I was able to pay off part of my house, it was about $205,000. I paid $105,000 down payment. I was able to save up some money while I was out on mission. And since my wife and I have gotten married a few months ago, we have not taken a honeymoon or anything like that. I was wanting to know if you thought it was prudent to save up for a honeymoon or some type of vacation, or if we should try to pay off as much of the house as humanly possible in the next 2 years and then go after a later honeymoon after that is completed.
Do you have a fully funded emergency fund right now?
Right now, we have about $2,000 saved up. My wife just started a brand new career a few weeks ago, and she and I, both of our incomes together, are about $100,000. And she's working on saving up so that way we can have probably a 4 or 5 month emergency fund. And then after that, we were wanting to chip away at the mortgage. So we're still a couple months, 2 or 3 months away from that. After that, I was just wanting to know what you guys thought. Yeah.
Thank you for your service. What are you talking about spending on the honeymoon?
We're looking at maybe $5,000.
And you're going to do that now or after the emergency fund is done, or when? When are you planning on doing that?
After the emergency fund, but I wanted to know what you thought of doing it before the mortgage was paid off, or if we should.
I would.
You would?
Yeah. And that's that. In other words, okay. That's by Christmas, like this fall, you go on your honeymoon.
Okay.
Yeah. How old are you?
I am 36.
Okay. Cool. Again, thank you for your service. I appreciate that. This is just the not the financial advisor. This is the old husband that's been married 40 years. It's a really good investment to do this honeymoon thing.
Okay. And it sounds like y'all have been working really hard. The fact that you put down such a big down payment, you paid off all your debts, you've been doing a lot of things right and really committed to it. So it's like once you hit baby steps 4 through 6, you know, you're still working hard, you're still following the process, but you can breathe a little bit more. You can take that honeymoon, go on a vacation.
Exactly right. After you've gotten baby step 3 in place, you're a debt free except the house, you have the emergency fund. 4, 5, and 6, just like you just said, is where you save up and do some other stuff. And that means, like, that's where you buy a couch, or you go on a vacation, or you pay cash for an upgrade in car, or whatever it is. You're going to do all of that after between baby step 3 while you're doing 4, 5, and 6. And what that means is it's going to reduce every time you do one of those consumption things that you do need to do at that stage. It's going to reduce the speed at which you pay off your mortgage. And so we teach you to be intense, baby steps 1 through 3, getting out of debt and having the emergency fund. Nothing happens there. No vacation, no eating out, beans and rice, rice and beans. And once you move past your emergency fund being in place, you move from intense to intentional. And that's what we're saying here. Now we're intentional. And that's exactly the way Chris was asking the question. So he's ahead of the game.
And I love, like, the fact that he is so motivated to pay off the house. Like, don't lose that motivation. We're not saying that. But you can take a honeymoon, breathe a little bit, but definitely keeping that intentionality is awesome.
Jacob's in Chicago. Hey, Jacob, what's up?
Hey, Dave, it's a pleasure.
Yes, sir. How can we help?
Yeah, so I've been really fortunate to have a great career at my young age through 28, but I was recently diagnosed with a progressive eye condition that'll leave me blind in 15 to 20 years, and I sort of have a lot of financial questions related to that, but specifically, how do I think about a 401k, which wouldn't, you know, pay me till my 60s or generally get my affairs in order?
Yeah. Wow. I'm sorry. You've gotten a second opinions and everything, and you're working the process, I assume.
Yeah. Unfortunately, second or third opinion all said the same thing.
Okay. So what is it, glaucoma?
It's called retinitis pigmentosa, so yeah. I'll sort of progressively lose my vision. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. You've got a lot of preparation to do. That's the bad news. The good news is that you've got some time, and you can do this. So you're exactly right. You need to be funding something in addition to or instead of a 401k so that you can get to it. Because if you're 28 and we need to 30, 15, that's 45 years old, you're going to be 15 years before you can start tapping into a 401k. So you really got to build up some non-401k investing, some non-retirement investing. And what I would do is sit down with a SmartVestor Pro and probably redirect your baby step 4, 15% of your income going into retirement. I would just redirect that and say it's not going into a classic retirement. It's going to just go into good mutual funds. And here's the thing I want you to look for, Jacob. I want you to look for what's called a low turnover mutual fund. All right?
Okay.
Are you ready for me to teach you for a second?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Turnover in a mutual fund means what percentage of the stocks in the mutual fund do they sell every year? So one that turns over the stocks a lot would be like an aggressive growth stock mutual fund. It might have a 200% turnover ratio, meaning they might roll the whole puppy over twice in a year. Okay? You don't want that. You want a low turnover, which by definition is a 5% or less turnover ratio. An example of that is an S&P 500 fund. They almost always have, like a Vanguard or a Fidelity has those, almost always have a low turnover ratio. Now, here's why you want that. Because then all of your gains are not taxed until you cash it out. See, if you buy a share of stock like Home Depot for $50, I just made that up, and it goes to $75, you don't pay taxes on the $25 gain until you sell it. And since your mutual fund is not selling any stocks inside of it with a low turnover ratio, it's growing without taxes until you cash it out. It's growing at capital gains rate, like a house going up in value. You don't pay taxes on it until you sell it. Same thing. So the low turnover ratio allows you to grow at capital gains rate, number one. But number two, more importantly, it allows you to grow without any taxes on it until you cash it out. Talk to your SmartVestor Pro. They can help you get that set up. I'm sorry you're facing this, sir. Invest 10 minutes now before you buy your next home or refinance. Folks, it's tough to buy a house in this market. I get it. It's competitive. So when you do find the right house, you got to be ready to move. Keep in mind, a home is one of your largest investments, so be smart about who you work with. The new Home Buyer Edge program from our Ramsey Trusted Friends at Churchill Mortgage helps you do just that. It starts with becoming a Churchill certified home buyer and capping your interest rate. But here's the kicker. You'll also get a $5,000 seller guarantee to help you in a multi-offer situation. This strategy helps you move fast and will give you the edge over others. To get the home buyer edge, go to ChurchillMortgage.com today. Again, ChurchillMortgage.com.
This is a paid advertisement. NMLS ID 1591. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Equal housing lender. 1749 Mallory Lane, Suite 100, Brentwood, Tennessee, 37027. Programs are for qualifying borrowers and select loan types only and are not available in all states or locations.
Christina Ellis, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Thank you for joining us, America. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Well, June 21st was KTAR Day in the state of Arizona as the legendary station celebrated its 100th anniversary on the air in Phoenix. We are honored to be part of the KTAR team. Other affiliates like KTSA in San Antonio, WMT in Cedar Rapids are also celebrating their 100th anniversary this year. Radio's 100th anniversary was November of 2020. And we've not been on the air 100 years yet, but we are celebrating 30 years actually this week.
That's
it'll be the 25th, which is, I think, Saturday. I won't be on the air, but that will be 30 years from the day I first went on the radio. And so, but KTAR, thank you guys and congratulations. Thanks for continuing to carry the Ramsey Show. It is an absolute powerhouse of a talk radio station over there in Phoenix. And we love going to Phoenix for that reason. We love all you folks in Phoenix. We've got a bazillion listeners there, and we're honored by that. Thank you very much. And congratulations on your 100th year. Wow, that's pretty cool. And no one that works there was there when it started. I'm kidding. That I know of. I'm pretty sure. I know most of those folks, and I don't think any of them are that old. So how many folks of you are out there stressed out about your retirement? You've looked up and seen a bear market. The scary bear is here, which means the market is on sale, and you have the opportunity to buy something on sale. You don't gripe about that when it's a purse. Why do you gripe about it when it's your retirement account? Buy more. It's on sale. You don't need it today anyway. Ride her out, baby. But hey, you got to have somebody in your corner talking to you that way, and that's why we recommend a SmartVestor Pro. They're experienced investing professionals who will teach you and give you perspective in these scary, scary times. I am kind of being sarcastic, but they are scary. Go to RamseySolutions.com/SmartVestor. You can find a SmartVestor Pro in your area to walk with you through the ups and the downs, and they'll remind you that no one gets hurt on a roller coaster except those that jump off in the middle of the ride. Our question of the day comes from Blinds.com. Find out for yourself why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of window custom window coverings. Free samples, free shipping. New promos all the time. You'll save even more. Always use that promo code Ramsey. It's a great American company. I love this company, Blinds.com.
Today's question comes from Hannah in New York. Our six-year-old daughter has a disability and language delay with ADHD and autism. I have a learning disorder and was denied admission to all our state colleges. I do not want the same path for my daughter. Are kids with disabilities able to go to college? And if so, how do we start planning now to help her navigate any challenges that would come her way? Ooh, this is such a good question. Well, first of all, yes. Yes, they can go to college. Absolutely. A few things come to mind in terms of preparing, especially at this age. It's so great that you're thinking about it now. One thing is to help her develop skills. So when she goes to college, she's going to be independent. So starting right now on those independent skills are great. You know, work on starting and finishing tasks, following routines, communication, and especially self-advocacy. You know, helping her understand how to ask for what she needs in order to be successful. And then when it comes to school, you guys obviously have a journey ahead of you. Being involved in the development of her IEP, which is the Individualized Education Plan. You know, as a parent, you can have a say in that. You get to be involved with the teachers, with the professionals in the schools developing that. So, you know, be involved in that process. Figure out what works best for your student. And especially as you get into high school and you're thinking about the classes that are going to be taken, you know, make sure you're involved in that process. You need to figure out what works and what doesn't work and be able to advocate for that. And then in terms of the future, you know, a lot of colleges have really great centers for students with learning disabilities. So you want to find those colleges that have those specialized centers. You know, some are going to be better than others. Some are going to look like they have a lot of accommodations, but they may not be great. So, you know, start exploring what those colleges are and then ask them, what are the requirements for admissions? And, you know, what kind of classes do they require and what's going to be needed for your daughter in order to get in? And then kind of work backwards, especially when you're looking at high school and you're thinking through that IEP, make sure that the requirements are met so that once it's time to apply for colleges, she's ready for that. And then also go to the colleges in person, because it's easy to see something online and it's easy to seem like they're going to accommodate your student. But get in there and ask questions, meet with the people in the center, and really take ownership of this process. You know, it's a different experience than in high school. In high school, there's going to be a lot more state-involved requirements. They're going to be a lot more accommodating. And once your student's in college, it's really going to be more on your student and you to really advocate and take ownership of the process.
Yeah, if you plug into it in a good college, most of the colleges do a really good job.
Yep.
Of but you need to plug into the center. You don't just sign up as a regular student and waltz around campus. You know, you need to plug into, because it's built in the cost of your tuition. It's not an extra cost. So plug into the counseling center, plug into the different areas there, and help them develop some plans around this. And obviously, wherever she falls on the autism spectrum is going to dictate whether she's actually going to do well academically at the collegiate level, at that level. And, lots of people on the autism spectrum do very well in college.
Very well.
But they're on one end of the spectrum. If you've got an extreme situation, it's very difficult. And so, but all learning is, if you've got an extreme situation. So it can be done, certainly. And there is a lot of built-in advocacy systems in the process, and they're built into your cost of tuition. So I can't agree more. You got to visit the school, because here's the thing. They can build a beautiful, center for whatever and put people in there that don't care.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. But they can build a not-so-great center or have an old building and people in there that super care, and that make all the difference in the world. And so that's what you need to get on. And you won't tell that online.
Right.
You can breathe it in the air, though, when you go in there and you look in the people's faces and you catch their body language, and do they lean in, and are they there to serve and there to help, and do they have a special place in their heart for this, and all that kind of stuff. It makes a huge difference. So as you go along, 6 years old, we may not know exactly what you're facing. There's a lot of things can happen over the next 10 years, and there will be a lot of things that happen with autism and ADHD over the next 10 years. And there will be a lot of development issues with your daughter. So we'll see where everything lands. But, yes, there's a lot of possibilities there. And we don't just, my youngest, when he got ready to go, first kid, we put her in school, we cried and cried and cried. Second kid, we cried for a day or an hour. The third kid, we just said college is that way. Okay. And you can't do that here. You can't just go college is that way. Okay, right. You got to walk them in and through the process, and that will keep you from just getting the door slammed in her face.
Yeah, and I love that she's asking this question at this age, because it's
very,
like,
very smart.
Yes, it's such good foresight to be thinking through these things, developing the skills, working through the different IEPs while she's in school, and then really being proactive about the college part of things. It's just really going to set her up for success.
Very well done. Mary is in L.A. Hi, Mary. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Sure. What's up?
My parents passed away a year and a half ago.
I'm sorry.
Right now, my brothers both live at their house, and they're going to sell the house, and I feel very excluded. In the whole process, because they are planning on selling the house and they are planning on purchasing another house together.
Mm-hmm. Are they not planning on cutting you a third of the house proceeds?
That's basically how they're seeing it.
Are they going to give you one third of the house proceeds?
No, they do not plan on giving
Why?
Me
What makes
anything?
Them think they can get away with that?
So, when my parents passed away, they passed away early last year, and then in October last year, we went to the probate lawyer, and out of guilt, I signed over, like, my older brother and I both signed over a right to my younger brother, like, to be basically in control of the house.
No, I think you need an attorney. You need an attorney, and you're going to step back into this. They don't get to just decide this crap. That's not how it works in probate. There's a thing called law, and even in California they have laws. And so, yeah, you need a lawyer right now. This is the Ramsey Show. Christina Ellis, number one best-selling author and Ramsey personality, is my co-host today in the lobby of Ramsey Solutions on the debt-free stage. Jeff and Tammy are with us. Hey, guys, how are you?
We're wonderful.
Good.
Welcome, welcome. And where do you guys live?
We live in a little town in the middle of Shenandoah Valley called Stewart's Draft in Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what's that near?
It is near Charlottesville.
Charlottesville. Okay, wow, wonderful, good. Welcome to Nashville.
Thank
How much debt have you paid off?
Well, we paid off $80,000.
Cool. How long did that take?
About 3 years, right at 3 years.
Good for you. And your range of income during that time?
It was pretty much $86,000 for about the entire time. It's gone up a little since then, fortunately, but it was right at $86,000.
Cool. What do y'all do for a living?
We both work in nonprofits. I'm an executive director of a small social service nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. And I'm a social worker.
Ah, very good. Very good. What kind of debt was the $80,000?
Dumb debt. There were a couple of cars, several credit cards. There was even a midlife crisis car.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what it was.
She's pointing at him for those of you on radio. Yeah. Okay. So what was the midlife crisis car? What'd you buy?
Cadillac XLR.
Woo-wee. Nice.
Not
like
bad.
It. Like it, like it, like it. All right. So what happened 3 years ago? What was the wake-up call? And how'd you get tied into this Ramsey stuff?
Well, we have only been married for 2 years.
Okay.
We're on our second marriage.
Mm-hmm.
We were both in long-term marriages previously.
Mm-hmm.
And he divorced in 2010,
mm-hmm.
I in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And we left our marriages with a lot of debt and no retirement. And it was a bad situation. And my kids were afraid we were going to end up on their couch. And they didn't really, they weren't looking forward to that. So when we met, we both had heard about the Ramsey solution,
mm-hmm.
but Jeff was way more into it.
Yeah.
And
so were your kids pushing it too?
No.
No, they were just,
no, they just wanted
they were just
me.
They're just worried about you. Okay.
They were glad that I found somebody to share my life with, and I wasn't going to end up with them.
Wow.
That's right.
Wow.
And
yeah.
I like to say, until that point, my life motto was Romans 7:15, where it says, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't practice the things I know I should do. Instead, I do the things I hate. And that was basically how I was living life. And,
yeah.
It was really time to change that.
Yeah, we all have a time or two in our lives, for sure. Well done, guys.
So $80,000, that's a lot, especially on $86,000 a year. What did y'all do to pay off that debt?
Well, we sold everything we could out of the house, got rid of just about everything that we didn't necessarily need. We did the every dollar budget and stuck to it, did not eat out at all, cleared out our cabinets, cleared out our freezer, made sure we ate everything that we could before we bought anything else, and literally just cut everything in life that we didn't have to have. Cut out cable, cut out all the extras that we didn't need, and just hunkered down and chopped those things off from smallest to largest. And it was just, it was fun.
Yeah. Way to go, y'all. Very, very good.
Who are your biggest cheerleaders in this process?
I think just each other.
Yeah.
We really didn't share our journey with anyone.
Well, the irony of this is we got married March 21st, 2020.
Oh, of course.
I like to say we got married and the world will never be the same.
literally.
We were going to get married in Texas and literally everything shut down. And so as we were heading back to Virginia, she was all disappointed because she was like, you know, we cash flowed this wedding. We have all these things with this date on it. And she's on her phone, and we wound up getting married somewhere outside of Dollywood because you could get the license and get married that day, and we still got married on the day we wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got home, and everything closed up. So that at that point, we really got serious about things and decided we just needed to change our life because our life was changing around
us. The ultimate honeymoon. Quarantine!
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, pretty
Wow,
much.
You guys, amazing. Very cool.
Well,
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How's it feel to be free?
It's awesome.
It feels good.
It's
good.
In the past year, being free from debt, we did a remodel of our kitchen. We cash flowed it. My daughter needed a car. We cash flowed that. Our air conditioner a couple of weeks ago went out. We did a grave service for it. It's 25 years old, so there's no fixing it. When we get home, that's about $10,000 that we're going to cash flow that, and mm-hmm. we still have our emergency fund. So
yeah.
life is different.
And you still got plenty of time to build retirement.
Yes.
Yeah, and not be on the kids' couch.
That's right. They're happy.
And I love that when the world shut down and things are crazy and you're newlyweds, that instead of just being like, oh, like a victim of it, like this is a bummer, y'all pressed in and you went hard on this debt. That's just incredible. What would you tell people who, you know, feel frustrated, they feel like they can't pay off their debt, you know, they're worried about retirement savings, that were in your shoes? What would you tell them to encourage them?
Well, I'd say, first off, the snowball plan works. At first, I was scratching my head going, but wait, I'm paying 15% on this card and this one's only 3%. And then I realized, like Dave always says, at the end of the month, when I've got 8 bills to pay and the next month there's only 7, that's really cool mentally. I only owe 7 people now. And then a few months later, only 6. And I would just say it just takes the time, and the momentum does build up like a snowball. And following the baby steps is the perfect way to do that.
Yeah. Way to go, you guys.
Thank you.
And we definitely started communicating more, because that wasn't in a previous relationship. So it became fun to sit down and learn where our money was going.
Yeah.
And saying, hey, we have this.
And do it together.
And we did it together. Yeah. And that was awesome.
And we're actually making progress, because we were broke before.
Right.
In the other place. Yeah.
So,
I mean, you got better marriage, better financial situation. This is a good process.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, now at the end of every month, when we do next month's budget, we're looking going, well, we've budgeted everything, and there's like $1,000 left here. We can start paying down the house. We can put more in retirement. And that never was a possibility before. It was, I'm $1,000 short. Where do I cut?
Yeah. Yeah. Most of your life. Yeah.
Yes. Right. Absolutely.
How does that feel? How does it feel to be debt free?
It feels great. I don't feel guilty getting my nails done anymore.
Get it, girl.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. That's the reason to do it.
Yes.
Something I have never said. But yeah. Well done, you two. We're very proud of you. We got a copy of Baby Steps Millionaires for you. Great. We want you to finish this up now. Let's go be millionaires. You're on your way.
Yes.
You can do this. You really, really can, actually. It's very cool. And we've got a copy of Total Money Makeover for you. Probably give that away to one of the kids and say, this is why we're not on your couch. And also, we've got Financial Peace University, a one-year membership to that, and Ramsey Plus, along with the Every Dollar Premium version. And that's the brand new videos in Financial Peace University. The class has all just been redone. It's the best it's ever been. So go through it, or send somebody through it, whichever one you guys want to do. We're proud of you, heroes.
Thank you,
sir. You took control of your life. You looked in the rearview mirror and said, I don't like what's back there, so we need a new thing, new view out the windshield.
That is,
you got it all the way across the board. A fresh start. Way to go.
Sir. Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you for your help.
Jeff and Tammy from Virginia, $80,000 paid off in 3 years, making $86,000. Count it down. Let's hear a debt-free scream.
3, 2, 1.
We're debt-free!
Yeah! Excellent job, you two. Man.
You get those nails done.
Amen. 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 I have no idea why we do that. But yeah, amen. Makes no sense to people like me, but amen. It's just something that has to be done. I have figured that out after 40 years of marriage. So some things you don't have to understand, you just got to do them.
And, it's a good word.
China. I don't understand China. We spend a lot of money on these dishes that sits in the cabinet. And we have to have a cabinet to hold the dishes that we don't use. I don't understand this. These are things men don't get. Most men, anyway. So doesn't matter. You don't have to get it. You just got to get it.
There you go.
Happy wife, happy life. So there we go. What is the biggest benefit of debt freedom? I can get my nails done. There you go. I like it. You got to love it, though. That's exactly right. I can live my life without stress and guilt.
Right.
Because people do so many things and then they feel guilty. People walk around half of our culture with a financial hangover.
Mm-hmm.
They get up and do stuff the next morning. They go, oh, God, what did I do? Oh, God, messed that up. And they feel guilty half the time. They walk around shaming themselves all the time instead of just taking control of this and getting it cleaned up. That's why we're here, boys and girls. We're here to help you. And sometimes that means we love you enough to tell you the truth, and it's brutal. But we'll tell you that because we love you. This is The Ramsey Show. Shane Ellis, number one best-selling author and Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Jason's in Reading, Pennsylvania. Hi, Jason. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hey, Dave. How you guys doing?
Better than we deserve. What's up?
Well, I got a little dilemma here, and I'm trying to get it figured out. I live with my girlfriend, her and I at the house, and her son lives there too. And then he decided to ask if we were okay with if his girlfriend got kicked out of her house, or her mom's house, so she moved in with us. And they, you know, I agreed on like 2 or 3 months, and I figured that was okay. They both, between the two of them, they make like well over $200,000 a year. So I really don't see why they just won't just take that step, you know. And my girlfriend's basically on their side, and every time I'm trying to say something, it's like I get like the backlash, and I'm like, oh, so I just don't know what to do, you know. I mean, they need to have that kick in the butt to get moving, but I don't know how to get her on board with me, and it's just, it's so frustrating, so frustrating.
Who owns your house? Who owns the house?
Actually, we're renting the house. Okay. We are renting the house.
Who's on the lease?
It's just her. It's just my girlfriend, actually.
Okay. So it's her. It's actually her house.
Yeah, it's basically her house. I moved in with her when we got together.
So she's allowing you to live there.
No, basically, I guess.
Yeah, legally speaking, that's what's happening.
Yeah. Well, okay. She asked me to move. She did ask me.
I know, but she's allowed. I didn't say you were there against her will, but she's allowing you. She's the lease person on the lease. She's in charge.
Yeah. Okay.
And so how long have you been there?
2 years now.
Okay. And how old is her son?
26. Mm-hmm. Okay. And his girlfriend is 28.
And he was there before you got there.
Yeah. He said he was going to be leaving a year after he graduated from his schooling and got his job. But it's been over a year now, and it's just there's no exit plan at all. I'm like, well, what do we do here, you know?
Yeah.
The only way
I know how to answer questions on this show is to tell you what I would do if I woke up in your shoes, but I wouldn't wake up in your shoes. So, because I wouldn't have made these decisions. So I think I've just got to backtrack and go, okay, I think what we've got to decide here, I don't think you're going to get between this lady and her son when you are the boyfriend that is not on the lease.
Yeah. Okay.
You're not exactly in a position of power relationally or legally.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think maybe you've got to decide if this is a permanent relationship or not.
Oh, I was more than, I mean, that's what the plan was.
Okay, then if we're going to get married, then it's a different set of rules.
Oh, yeah, that was already in the plan.
Well, no. Actually, I mean, you know, I think that's part of the discussion here. It's like, honey, we're going to set a date, and, you know, now if we're going to set a date, now we've got to go into pre-marriage counseling, and part of pre-marriage counseling is how we deal with extended family, which is grown kids, parents, in-laws, cousins that are crazy, whatever.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a plan as a couple to stay unified while you deal with extended family, in other words, she believes you deeply love her son and want what's best for him, and she does too, and we're going to treat them as 26-year-old adults that make $200,000 a year, then you can do that as a husband and wife, and you need to be unified on that before you become husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's also going to change the status of the lease as well. Because now we're both going to be husband and wife on the house that we rent as a couple. Now he's just trespassing once you'd make that change.
Uh-huh.
But right now you may be trespassing.
Yeah, well, I guess
you're both there with her with her agreement, but she's in charge of this right now.
Yeah.
You don't have much. Okay. You don't have much of a ground to argue from right now. So. You know, I think you're going to have to, you know, turn up the heat on progressing this relationship and causing it to become a marriage, and as a part of that deal with this situation, because I don't think there's a chance in the current scenario that you're going to get between her and her baby boy.
Well, yeah, I'm not trying to get between.
Yeah, you are.
Well, I just keep getting different stories.
You know, I would be. If I were you, I'd be trying to get between her because he needs to get his butt out of there and be a man.
Yeah, well, I really do agree with you. I mean,
yeah.
They say they're safe.
But you're not in a position to cause this to happen because right now you're just a trespasser.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I understand from that aspect, yeah. It's just I keep hearing different stories, you know, like they're saving for house and went spent.
I don't think you're going to change the narrative here because you don't have any influence. He has way more influence with her right now than you do.
It does seem that way. That's my problem.
That's a relationship problem.
Yeah.
And some of that is based on the fact that you moved into her house and you are not married. And so it changes the dynamic of the relationship. It's just the reality of the process. It changes the legality of it, but it also changes the dynamic of how the relationship functions because relationships are about... one of the things relationships are about is power and who has it and who's going to hand it over and back and forth. So, you know, in a good, healthy marriage, there's a give and take of power. You know, we laugh and say, you know, my wife wants to get her nails done. I don't understand, but she goes and gets it done. But that's a giving up of power. There's a different, you know, and so I choose to serve my wife, but that's a handing of power. She chooses to make me dinner. That's a handing of power. She, you know, she's serving. We all are giving, you know, these are power transfers and you're in a powerless position.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. I think, especially approaching it from a marriage perspective and just a relational perspective, I have a lot of questions with the relationship with the son and kind of the resistance to that. But I think you're right to first kind of deal with it directly with the girlfriend and kind of work on that relationship first, because that narrative between her and him, that's seems to go pretty deep.
Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, we're perpetuating stupid ideas here. Is what it amounts to. But you're not in a position to do anything about it right now. So you're going to either have to get in a position of power so that you can be gentle and kind, because you really can't be gentle and kind when you're weak. It causes you to thrash about. And I remember one time when Rachel was a brand new baby, we looked up and her toddler sister was carrying her down the stairs.
Oh.
And we about had a heart attack because this is an accident looking for a place to happen. Point being, the weak can't carry the weak. The strong should can carry the weak. That's, you know, you can't do it from a position of weakness. And so you can't be kind and gentle from a position of weakness. You can't can't carry a newborn down the stairs when you're virtually a newborn yourself. And so, you know, you have to get yourself financially in a position, relationally in a position, and legally in a position where you can be kind and gentle to this young man. Then you can put your arm around him and, you know, whisper in his ear and kick his little butt and get him out. He makes $200,000 a year. He's 26 years old. Time to get on with it, boy. Be a man. Step up. Step out. But you can't do that when you're the move-in boyfriend. It don't work. It just, you don't have the leverage. You're not in a position. Sorry. And it's a good question. It's an interesting discussion, but it's one of the dynamics that we face in our culture today. Because there's one of the things we face, you and I face all the time, we're trying to answer questions for people that are shacking up on how to handle money like a married couple when they're not a married couple, because you really can't. You're really roommates, legally, relationally, spiritually. You know, you're still fighting over who bought the mustard. Like you had a roommate in college. You know, that's my mustard. And that's your mustard. You bought that mustard, didn't you? Can I have some of your mustard? You know, and you're doing all this crap. You don't do that when you're married. You don't have my mustard, your mustard. It's just our mustard when you're married, you know? And where's our mustard? You know, it's not like, where's my mustard? You know, it's just, I'm standing looking at the door, and it's right there, but I can't see it. This is a husband thing, right? But the all of that to say, it's very difficult to do things in a way when you're not that thing.
Right.
And that's what we process here. And there's all kinds of data to back this up. It's not just an old fart with a moral statement. You know, there's stuff going on here. So
I love that perspective shift, too, and the illustration with the baby carrying the baby. Like, you got to be strong to be able to help other people and be able to speak into their lives on that level.
Exactly. This is The Ramsey Show. Dave here. You can find all of our shows with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. It's the only place to listen to the entire back catalog of episodes. Download the Ramsey Network app in your favorite app store today.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like the Dr. John Deloney Show.
Mental health challenges and hurting relationships happen to everyone, but they don't have to define you. I'm Dr. John Deloney, and I help people navigate through the messy things in their lives on the Dr. John Deloney Show. I'll walk alongside you as you face parenting, marriage, and other relationship challenges, and I'll walk alongside you as you try to connect with people, as you face depression, overcome anxiety, and learn how to change your life. Listen, I want you to be well. Listen to the Dr. John Deloney Show wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.